Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Intermission.
I have to say something here because otherwise there's an awkward silence.
Yep.
Oh, hello, Zazer. How are you today?
I am a Zazer, and this is my intro sequence.
Yes. The podcast where everything goes, the words fly fast, and nobody really gives a shit except when we do.
Otherwise they wouldn't invite me on.
Yes. Continuing up from last week, we have Zazer again roped in with probably a little bit more bribery than last time. I think this time we promised to give him the gameplay mod of the year if he wins.
Muhahaha.
Motherfucker has a rider.
I gotta work on my evil laugh a bit. Alright, give me some time. Yeah. Okay.
You gotta do it properly once you actually win.
True. Alright, no spoilers yet.
Right, no spoilers.
This is the part where, like, a couple of people, I'm sure, will start tuning in and then immediately stop the stream. Like, I knew it. All suspicions confirmed. Duminati, so on and so forth.
The CAC awards are rigged. They're truly rigged.
The Duke Nukem community is deciding the CAC awards as part of the Bilderberg group.
Oh, dear.
The Duke Burger Awards. That's what they're going to start up in protest.
I clearly did not pour myself enough whiskey.
Sadly, Shivers couldn't make it today. Apparently, he's focusing on his obligations towards dog sports got in the way, so it's just us three this time.
You think we're joking, but no, it turns out there's actually a PhD for all that stuff, and he is pursuing it with great gusto.
Hmm.
But jumping straight in, we've got feedback from the last videos, actually the last two videos, because we forgot to do this for E1M4. Turns out there's a little bit of a notable audio bleed-through on our videos. I will admit I am completely unfamiliar with audio editing, so I'm not entirely sure what that means.
I think that's like the sound from speakers and that. I'm not sure where that would come from, since I'm using headphones. You're probably using headphones.
It's my bad. I was transmitting everything telepathically, and I just was thinking about what you guys were saying, and it echoed.
Yeah.
Okay. You're using a microphone this time, right?
I think. That's what you call those little, like, metal things that sit on a desk and do the telepathic thing for you, right?
No, that's a soda can.
Oh, okay. Well, give me a moment. I need to go to Best Buy and buy one because I have no taste in electronic stores.
30 minutes later. But anyway, I'm not really sure what it all means, but it is something I'm going to have to look into because, I mean, audio bleed through is audio bleed through, and if it's a bad thing, then it's a bad thing and I need to fix it. So, pretty cut and dry, really.
Hmm.
It's also that YouTube is becoming less and less of an appropriate platform for recording videos that have no video content and simply podcasts. Remember one of last videos where Shivers was talking about all of his stuff that's coming up for laundry? The bleeps were completely out of sync.
That seemed like an issue with like Sony Vegas or whatever with how you exported the audio.
Mm-hmm. Any other service, I can just update the file and it works perfectly fine. I mean, you go on doomradio.org and file will be there perfectly fine. Or doomradio.com and the file will be perfectly fine. I'll admit I'm not really familiar which is which. You go on the Dropbox link, the audio will be perfectly fine. You go to the YouTube video, no, it's completely out of sync. The beeps are out of sync, the music's out of sync, and it just... ugh. I'm going to have to look at some alternative services, maybe some SoundCloud, or apparently Google has a dedicated podcasting service. Might be interesting to look at if I can set up an RSS.
I think the real mystery here is YouTube got really big for audio. Like, nowadays, whenever I have a song I want to look up, I type it in the URL to YouTube, the search for YouTube, and then I feel really, really dirty afterwards because I just search for audio on a video site like it was normal. Like, I am part of the problem.
It's like Spotify for casuals.
I clearly need to get good at the internet.
Gotta get to ultra-violence level at the very least.
Could be worse. My mindset for finding audio that is still pretty so heavily in the Napster days.
Get on my levels. Try LimeWire.
Oh, dear. Ugh.
So was there anything else we had to discuss with feedback, or...?
One guy said to improve our microphones or he will not be listening to the podcast anymore.
Well, if he subscribes to our Patreon, we will be able to afford additional microphones. And eventually I'll be able to replace my entire wall with just like a Phil Spector wall of sound, except hopefully without the whole murder thing.
I mean, I'll be completely honest. My microphone, it's just kind of a cheap Plantronics USB thing. I mean, there's really only so much you can do on a budget of Cheetos. And then another person, he gave me a suggestion, linked me to a website, and microphone there was $200. And it had a whole bunch of features that I simply couldn't even use. I mean, it was a microphone with an LCD display. Or LCD display.
That's the best mental type I've heard in a while. Like, I would pay $200 for an LCD display. Like anything you play over it, like, goes through that Google filter. Great.
Yes.
I would listen to that fucking podcast. Oh, dear. Hello, and welcome to Intermission, live from Burning Man.
On today's episode, everybody taste test Dimerol.
Yes. Next up, we'll be taking slight doses of Scythe 2.
And Shivers ends up being the sole survivor.
It turns out I was a ghost the entire time.
Not again.
Yeah, it sucks. Like, I keep reusing the same plot twist. Like, next time I'm going to be a goat instead.
What about if you'll be a ghost?
A ghost? Is that like a goat ghost?
Yes.
I like this idea. I'm not sure why I like it, and I'm kind of concerned that I do, but I like it.
So, the next Doom Twid mapping session confirmed, Counter Ghost Initiative.
Just in time for Halloween. Aww.
Hey, just do it 32 and 24 style, except actually in 24. You'll get it done.
Okay. 32 and 24 asterisk. Okay, well.
And, yeah, I mean, it's microphone. I would love to have a better microphone, but unfortunately, getting a microphone just for a better podcast, not really a high priority for me. Especially one that's $200, because I could, that'd buy a lot of ramen. I could eat cheap for at least 3 years.
You could buy a brick that you could use to keep your cat out of the room when you're recording.
He'd find a way in. He'd find a way in.
No clip.
More like no cat. No cat clip.
ID no cat.
No kit.
Jumping straight on from that, recent events in the Doom community. D4D has been getting, is becoming quite the forum darling lately, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's all over the place now. Stickied on Reddit, on the Reddit Doom Reddit thing. I don't know how Reddit works.
I visited Reddit once, and there was like two pages straight of brutal Doom talk, and then I just kind of closed it and never looked back again.
It's like V-Bulletin except nonsensical.
More importantly, though, they were promoted by the official id Software, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, on the Doom Twitter and that, which is actually pretty impressive. I suspect it's because they got stickied on the Doom subreddit, since Bethesda read that. And I really hope that the admins of that subreddit follow on from that and like give a little promotional push to other mods that deserve the attention.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
To the wider mainstream audience.
Yeah, it'd be...
Is that right, guys? You'd like to do that, right?
Love to get a little shout out to all the little lesser known mods that are really, really cool nonetheless.
Yeah.
Like Wild Weasel's Nazis, that's an old mod, kind of old, but it's still pretty staple because, I mean, come on, shooting Nazis is great. And plus, not to mention, Weasel's Nazis has probably got as many offshoots as Brutal Doom at this point. Everyone keeps on using it for their own mods. I mean, even Blade of Agony, it's using Weasel's Nazis as a base.
Yeah that's coming up pretty damn soon.
Mm-hmm. Mid-November.
Yeah.
And speaking of id Software, there was also that id Software AMA on Reddit.
Which was basically, wow, it's nothing.html.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I looked at it and read through, and nobody really said anything that's worth, like, okay, it's cool, people like the game, and the devs had fun with it. And aside from that, I don't think we got any information on stuff.
Interesting information about the future plans for bot support for multiplayer.
Yeah, like, we know that's a thing.
Which is interesting because I cannot connect to a fucking match. I mean, like, not that I'm probably missing much, because Doom 4 multiplayer.
Kinsey, I hate to be blunt, but you're Australian.
What? How did nobody tell me this?
And it all comes out. So, I'll continue to be the lone wolf in the community who likes Doom multiplayer. It doesn't play like the old stuff. Doesn't also need to. I liked it when
I could play it.
There you go. There's some, I can see some slight unbias towards that side. Now, the real question, though, is when bot support comes in, will you still be able to do it, or do you still have to connect to a server?
I think you create it's like you create private games with bots in them so that you can play like players versus bots as well.
Yeah. So the core gameplay itself is something I've always liked about New Doom's multiplayer, bizarrely, I guess. I seem to be in the minority among community folk. But the metagame behind it sucks. You know, you can only do the find match thing. You can't really create your own stuff. The fact that when they released the DLC, there wasn't a way to preview those maps very well. They just kind of came up in rotation. It's like, come on, I want to play the new stuff and kind of luck at the draw. They had a mode that was new maps only, but it was all game modes, new maps only. And I'm like, I don't want to play Warpath. Just put me in TDM. We're okay. Soul Harvest. Cool. Warpath? No. So I don't know. It's weird because like all the options you think would be there are not. But they're still working on it. Like they acknowledge all these things, and they're working on free for all and all this other little bits and pieces. Granted, it may be kind of too late at this point, but yeah, well, it's better than it not existing.
Yeah, if there's one thing that NewID has been very, very good about, it's been listening to feedback.
Yeah, they're very responsive to what people say, for better and sometimes for worse. But and frankly, the new multiplayer maps at the least look really cool. The artwork on them is superb.
Indeed. Yeah, stuff floating in space. I have a slight bias towards that. Jetson's Crew.
I noticed.
I will admit my opinion on Doom 4 multiplayer extends about as far as I was at a friend's house. I played the beta on the PlayStation 4, and I could barely suppress my vomit, and I never touched it again.
That's fair. It's very Halo-y.
Insert but, PS4 joke here.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not, like, one of those people who, like, violently rage vomit anytime they see a first-person shooter after, at least after the year 2000. And there hasn't really been a proper Halo release on PC since, like, Halo 2 for Windows Vista.
There hasn't been a proper Halo release, period, recently. The new guys are really kind of cocking it up.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a subject not to really to delve in on a retro FPS podcast. Oh, boy.
Well,
don't
I don't
worry.
Know.
The new Marathon will be just fine.
I miss Marathon. I miss Marathon a lot. Okay. Happier matters. Okay, moving on. Let's see, scroll. Oh, right. There's the Brutal Doom 64, happier matters. the guy
this
named...
This is what we call irony.
There's a guy named Zeg. He's the guy that made God Hand Doom, and it gained a little bit of a hubbub because of the Patreon surrounding it, but he made another mod called Doom's Defense. It's significantly simpler in scope. It's just basically you are in a turret. You are shooting things.
It looks like that old virtual reality arcade game Beachhead 2000.
And it does not have a Patreon attached to it.
Yeah, and I guess it just sort of... This and Brutal Doom 64 sort of... bring up the question. We've ripped on them a lot on this podcast. Like, I don't think we've had an episode where we haven't had a joke about Sergeant Mark's Patreon. I don't think we've had an episode where I didn't personally make the joke about Sergeant Mark's Patreon. So I guess we should just have the proper debate about it, dicks out on the table, and just, like, discuss it like adults. Patreon's for Doom Mods. Bad or dumb?
That's a hard decision, I guess. So somebody just recently brought up the hypothetical question on Doom World, like, hey, would any of you guys be willing to pay somebody for modding? And somebody just kind of asked the open question, not related to Brutal or anything else. But it spawned some discussion, and it was mostly focused towards people saying, would they pay other folks? My two cents, though, as a content creator, if you want to use that term, is I wouldn't feel comfortable accepting money or setting up a Patreon for Doom modding. Like, I didn't go into professional game design because I didn't want to turn it into work. As soon as you start accepting money, you kind of have the expectation to do things. It becomes, I don't want to use the word obligation, I guess, but... You lose the freedom to kind of jump in and out when you do. like, all that kind of stuff. And it I didn't want to turn it into a job, so I didn't go that route. And Patreon is kind of interesting because they have a semi-solution to that. You can do the whole charge per feature thing. So, oh, hey, I released a new whatever, and then it charges everybody however much. But like, where do you draw that line? Like, here's a real goofy question. If I'm working on a big weapons mod, like Argent or something, and it's in beta, and it's still in beta, and it's currently still in beta, and then I go and release a one-off map while this other thing is still in beta, do I charge all my Patreon people for the map? Or not? Do I do it for the interim beta releases, or do I have to wait for that to get to the end? Like, where do you actually draw the line on, oh, all right, this is significant enough for me to make everybody pay me money for it? That seems like a really weird thing for me as the guy running it to determine, because not enough, there's no point, too often, and people will start dropping out because it's like, oh my gosh, this guy's like claiming that all this stuff is... Let me phrase it this way. If I'm working on like an episode and I release an episode and then I charge all my Patreon people, and then I go and release a single map and then charge, everyone's going to cry foul because it's like, shit, you released 7 maps and then you went and released 1 map and I just paid for this 1 map like I did the 7. Like, I don't know if that's a thing that would actually happen, but I would be kind of afraid of it. So where the heck would you actually draw the line if you're using that model? I mean, the other thing is monthly, at which point you have no guarantees at all that you're actually making stuff, because it's not like any of us develop mods on a schedule. So that's what I wonder is, like, if you want to use Patreon for Doom modding or modding in general, where do you, how do you do that? Like, when do you charge?
How do you decide when to charge and when not to charge?
Basically, I'm sitting here looking for a fancy term, but
honestly, this is probably not the first time the Doom community has brushed with such questions before. I mean, there was the entire debacle about Bethesda and all of their paid mods and how it would affect the Doom community, which ended up being pretty much a complete non-issue at all. But even before then, there was another called Doom Evil Unleashed or something of the sort. It was one of the many Doom Alpha projects that was attempted to be made, and they were starting a Kickstarter in order to fund all of the content.
I think they were trying to commission an artist or something.
Yeah, they were trying to raise a Kickstarter so that they could commission an artist in order to do cutscene art, character portrait arts, and that sort of stuff. And that brought up a big, big, big issue, which I think is really overlapping the whole Patreon for Doom mod scene as a whole. And that is, at its core, we are not creating entirely original content. And that is ultimately something I think people should be paying for. If you make a Patreon, then it should be because you are doing original work. You are not charging off of other people's work, and ergo people are justified in paying money for it. If you're paying people for modding, then you're paying them instead of the original creators, or perhaps in tandem with the original creators, for their work, which is based on other people's work entirely. And when it comes to Brutal Doom, this is especially egregious because Brutal Doom is not exactly known for its well-documented sourcing of content. There's many, many trails that are connected to many, many people, and many of those trails are not exactly well-known. And so...
You have a story here, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, I might have looked in Doom 64, and I've noticed a good chunk of code that was my own, plucked entirely from Demon Steel, no mention in the credits whatsoever. But even entirely besides that, the point is, it's still not really entirely your work. So people paying you and only you for other people's efforts, that's bad. That is incredibly bad. I think an alternative solution is not so much Patreon, but rather a tip jar system, which some sites have been adopting quite nicely.
And it's some edge modders.
Some edge modders, oh boy. It's simply a matter of, I like this work, I like the work you did on it, here's a couple extra bucks. It's not any sort of regular system, which runs into the problems that Zazer mentioned, and it's not any sort of attempt to make it into a full profession, which runs into the problem of entirely original content that's not actually at all original. It's just a tip. You did some hard work, people send you a couple bucks for it. It's that simple. Clean, simple, no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, can't find any argument against that. It's the kind of thing where, you know, you certainly wouldn't use it as a replacement for your day job sort of thing. Not that I think anybody could ever manage that with a Doom modding Patreon, but yeah, it's if somebody wants to set that kind of thing up, then I certainly don't have any sort of, I wouldn't ever complain about that because that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that might be interesting to look into is the prospect of commissioning, because I mean, commissioning artists in and of itself, not really bad. I mean, I've commissioned artists for some work on the Booty Project. Arborix has done some fantastic stuff that I'm going to turn into sprites, but just Patreon itself.
I guess my issue with, like, the idea of a Patreon for a Doom mod is that compared to other engines and games that people do, like, Patreon modding stuff for, the Doom engine is ultimately not all that complex. If you compare, like, adding a new item to Doom to adding a new item to Skyrim or City Skylines or whatever, or Dota or whatever, there's a lot less actual work. I mean, there's work, but there's less because you're not dealing with, like, 3D art on a larger scale. So, like, I remember seeing a Patreon a while back for a guy who was, like, putting out a new building for City Skylines, like, once a month. Like, pouring, like, hard work into, like, a highly detailed building model for this game and putting it out on a regular basis and getting money for it. And that sort of thing is just fine. But I don't think Doom has the level of complexity that really justifies being able to do that and really get away with it, I guess.
Well, now that you're bringing that up, it's interesting because I'm sitting here thinking of it in terms of maps or mods, but between the, like, what you mentioned with the City Skylines and commissioning artists, I guess I could see a monthly Patreon for somebody making resources. Like, what if somebody was an artist drawing weapon sprites, and the thing is, I'm going to release a weapon.
Ooh, that would be nice.
That could work.
Like, because a pixel artist releasing a sprite sheet once a month of completely original art assets for people to use for whatever. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I guess there isn't, when you, what's interesting is now we're kind of starting to slide down the slope because
a couple frames of a gun isn't really equivalent to an entire rotation of monsters.
I'm sure there's ways you could divide it. Like, what makes that work a little bit is just the fact that there's a lot less artists doing original sprite work in the Doom community as, say, mappers. So even though it's technically the same thing for a mapper to say, I'm going to release a big map once a month, could you help fund me or whatever? That is technically the same thing, but I'm sure it would be met with a lot of whatever from people because lots of people do that. There's lots of good people who do that, but there's less stuff for it and artisty world. Plus, a map is not like a map resource that can projects. It's a standalone thing, generally.
I mean, I'd send Skillsaw a couple dollars.
Yeah. Donate button for Skillsaw. We should encourage him at the end of the day. Like, hey,
Skillsaw, have you ever thought about making a donate button?
And I'm also not opposed to the whole commission thing because there are certainly things that fall well outside of my skill set where I'm like, where I can't, like, ask someone to help out because they're all busy or whatever. Adding, like, being able to, like, chuck a couple of bucks someone's way, in order to actually get something done, I don't really see much of a problem with that, I suppose. Especially for things like music.
Music and art are two of the really, really big ones.
Yeah. Sound's kind of taking a third bit because those are big, big lumps of content creation that is necessary, but not, like, directly specific to Doom modding itself. I mean, you know, mapping and decorate code and all that kind of stuff, it's so specific and focused. Those are the things that Doom modders always do, as opposed to art. It's kind of like the generalized stuff that, well, is a lot harder to do.
Yeah, you look at...
I was going to say it seems harder. Well, it is. I mean...
Yeah. you look at Arian's sprite sheets, you could use them for Doom mods, you could use them for your Duke Nukem mods, you could use them for your Pie in the Sky engine, you could use it for your Game Maker engine. You make a map, it's pretty much only usable in one thing. You commission Jimmy to make a MIDI, well, I mean, you can use that for a YouTube video, you can use it for a map, you can use it for your college presentation, you can use it for lovemaking sessions, I don't know.
Okay, all right. I would like to ask Jimmy, if he is listening to this, to please make a MIDI for an unnamed lovemaking session, just to see. Like, that's the theme. Please make this and release it.
Well,
yeah.
I'm really glad that Jimmy will be able to provide some content for H-Doom.
Just put in that song from Ancient Aliens with the soaring saxophone.
Oh, dear.
So, basically, Patreon and paying content modders, maybe.
Yes. It's a difficult question. I guess we'll just continue to keep grappling on and making jokes about every 2 weeks from now until the end of eternity.
Yeah, it's one of those things that doesn't really have an easy answer, especially with all of the case scenarios about it. Anyway, moving straight on from that into greener pastures, I thought we were going to go to greener pastures beforehand. Damn you guys. What have you been playing recently?
Are we starting with me?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so I don't think I mentioned this last time, but Johnny Doom came out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not familiar with Johnny Doom, it's basically Brutal Doom, except good.
Whoa, we got some hot opinions here.
So it replaces the dumb taunting stuff with the old slogan for it was, replaces the old taunting stuff with grenades and fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And those are handled really well because the fighting is two hotkeys for punching and kicking without changing weapons, and there's like a combo system depending on what order you press them. And that feels really good, just go from shoot, shoot, shoot to run up and start beating the shit out of some imp.
Mm-hmm.
And it occasionally randomly triggers fatalities, which give you random bonuses, like 10 health or whatever. Sort of like the glory kills in Doom 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the grenades are fantastic because they almost feel psychic in that, like, they often bounce and land exactly how you want them to. Like, you throw into a crowd and it'll land right in the center. I don't know how it's done, but it's just really well handled.
Hmm.
All right, I'm going to believe that when I see it because, good grenades and Doom physics, I have yet to see this happen. I mean, I don't distrust you there, but damn, if that's great,
there's also like a multi-kill system for waxing multiple enemies at once with explosions. There's one of the new features in the latest releases is the J meter, and that fills up as you kill enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And when it fills up, you can press a button, and it gives you a random power up, and that's. And those power-ups are things like no reloading or explosive chain gun or like napalm rockets or whatever. And there's a lot of... It adds an extra element to... It's a bunch of extra elements on top of the Brutal Doom gameplay, along with a bunch of tweaks and changes that basically make it feel so much better than like the vanilla release.
Yeah.
It also helps that the author is a lot chiller than the lead author on Brutal Doom. He takes criticism a lot better. He's a lot more relaxed about the whole thing. It just sort of, it's a lot more feel-good a project, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I know that this is going to be a very, very hot and steaming opinion in the Doom community, but I don't think Brutal Doom is actually absolutely terrible.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's just incredibly unpolished, and it's grown too big for its own good. And so one of the good things that I really like about all of the offshoots is that it can take a product that's kind of mediocre, tripping over itself, and just overbloated to the point of insanity, and that can focus on one or two core things, and really take a mod that's a complete and total mess, and make it into something that's really fun. And Johnny Doom does that wonderfully. There was another guy on VR that I was following for a bit, and he was making his own offshoot of Brutal Doom called Spurglord Edition. It works off the same thing. It takes a couple things from the core Brutal Doom experience and just expands on it.
I still maintain that core Brutal Doom itself is a great mod. I dog the code because I've seen it and I'm like, ah, dude, use Inherited.
The code is awful.
Me being a jerk about the code. As there was a little stint as a mapper where I was getting kind of annoyed because folks were being like, hey, does your map work in Doom? And I'm like, it has monsters. It's not going to work. There's two cyber demons in this one area that'll just kill you to death if you... Yeah, like, try playing sharp things in Brutal Doom. You're never going to get past that arena.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So there was a little bit of push for a little while where folks were playing it with Brutal Doom, reporting issues that didn't exist. But I haven't seen that kind of stuff in a while anyway. So it's all the meta surrounding between that and the author and the other little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that... I think it's really cool that D4D is kicking up traction because and that Johnny Doom is coming out and seems to be getting a lot of praise because what's the next big thing? That's the question we're all kind of asking. Mm-hmm. And signs point at D4D right now because it's been bumped by id themselves. So it was Brutal Doom was unheard of because no mod was that popular for Doom. I mean, it has yet to be eclipsed. And so it's interesting because we have something that could possibly eclipse it. I don't know. We kind of got off the D4D topic pretty quick, but I did want to at least throw that out there and figured I could segue a bit. So
at its core, Brutal Doom is really just another weapon and enemy mod. Kind of mediocre, kind of got some nice ideas, and its really only claim to fame is the fact that it has a claim to fame in the first place. And now that we've got all sorts of other mods that are really getting up there, really getting popular, getting all through all sorts of news sites, getting through all sorts of incredible features. I mean, in fact, the D4D team was working really, really close with GraphZol in order to implement and tweak and add some features specifically for D4D, which has got all of the downsides and upsides one would expect, but it's really, really interesting. The future is heading into all sorts of interesting locations, and our scene is no longer defined by that source port that can run Brutal Doom and a handful of other mods.
Yes, things are sort of opening up and expanding, and it's sort of funny when people are like, I don't know, is the Doom community dying or whatever? And it's like, dude, we're getting articles on PC Gamer and Kotaku and shit like that. What do you fucking think?
Well, let's be fair. Kotaku would report on a literal piece of shit.
Yeah, it is true.
Well, that's... yeah, the standards aren't exactly high there, but... I hope that I get some feedback from them on my upcoming release, Hulk Hogan's Penis.log.
Oh, that was low, dude. That was real low.
I know, it's kind of stumpy and hung to the left a little bit.
Dick shot.
Oh, boy.
How are we supposed to follow that? Jeez. Okay.
Boy, that took way off topic. So, back on the subject of what have you been playing, hey, how about you, Zacer? What have you been playing lately?
Probably something aside from my own maps. Mostly my own maps. I'm working on a thing right now. Let's see. I finished Shadow Warrior 2, and I was heaping praise on it in the last episode. And my praise is a little bit less heaping now just because I did get finally realized, oh, crap, they are doing the procedural generation thing, and the levels, there's basically like three stages that get repeated a lot. And I'm like, all right, that kind of sucks. Now, the core gameplay is pretty damn awesome, even though it's frankly kind of unbalanced as hell. I have yet to jump in the co-op. Surprisingly, I'm behind on that. But I'm one of the weirdos that really liked the story from the first, I guess, the first Shadow Warrior remake. Wow, that's hard to say. 2013 Shadow Warrior. And 2 didn't have that, which kind of sucked. But still, I mean, compared to the fact that the gameplay got all tightened up and you dash around and the levels are open, even if they repeat a lot, I'd say the core game itself was improved in some ways. There is a annoying part of me that's thinking, oh, what if they had gotten the custom level route, ... But I don't know. I am saying the exact same thing on loop, and it doesn't matter. It's a good game. I'm going to say that.
Hoji was a great character in the original Shadow Warrior reboot. Boy, that is a mouthful to say. Hoji was a great character in Shadow Warrior 2013, and it's really kind of a shame that this new character is...
Yeah, she's basically just Hoji minus Hoji. Like, the exact same idea of, oh, there's a person following around commenting on your every action, except she forgets to be funny, which is unfortunate. Plus, it was neat that there's actual character developments with Hoji and Lo Wang, which is kind of unheard of in a lot of games, especially something that's old school FPS-ish. So it was really cool to see the two of them kind of interact. And
Lo Wang.
Yeah, a character called Lo Wang, who, with all the jokes, and who constantly makes jokes at his own expense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of all people to actually like think is really cool. That's great. And so, yeah, second game missed that, sadly.
Yeah.
More interesting, I suppose, the Dark Souls 3 expansion hit today to surprisingly mixed reviews if you look at Steam. And I disagree wholeheartedly. I think it's great. But it's weird because, yeah, there's a lot of folks that are just kind of dogging it, saying it's average. And I've got like a lot of little pet theories on that, just kind of searching around all this kind of stuff. But I think one of the core bits is just because people's expectations were higher. It's, you know, it's Dark Souls 3. We've had two Dark Souls's before. We've had lots of great expansions. For all the people that played Bloodborne, Bloodborne's The Old Hunters DLC is phenomenal and ridiculous and like an impossible act to follow. So if you compare the new DLC to that, then sure, it's not as good. And it's a little pricey for it's $15 as opposed to $10 for the Dark Souls 2 DLCs, which are about the same length. Basically, people tend to either say, it wasn't as good as I thought, or, it was too expensive for what you get. Which is weird because it's expensive for what you get in comparison to other Dark Souls games, in comparison to like any other video game. Oh my god, you get so much. $15 for like what, 5 hours of content? Yeah. How much content do you get for your average AAA $60 release compared to that? So I don't know. I'm a little critical of the critiques right now. That's been kind of blowing up a little bit, but it's one of those goofy ideas that I don't know. It's a lot like the Doom beta when it came out, when the multiplayer beta was going around and it was getting dogged on Steam. Except I think in this time, I don't really know if a lot of the complaints are really correct. Is that a thing to say? I mean, it's not like you can say somebody's opinion's incorrect. I'm surprised.
I do it regularly.
You're wrong for being wrong. You're meta. That's surprising. So I don't know if I'm speaking into the ether here because that's, you know, not Doom related in the slightest or even old school FPS. But
yeah. Meanwhile, on the old school FPS podcast, here is discussion about Dark Souls 3.
There's actually a mod I've seen someone working on recently that's trying to bring the whole Dark Souls gameplay sort of thing into Hexen.
Yeah, Hexen Souls. I think that's the name of the project.
I've seen some early footage from that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting, partially because sort of blending these two very different games together will result in some interesting results, and partially because, frankly, Hexen needs something to make it interesting.
Hexen needs a goddamn yes. mod. One not made by me.
So I think it's fun to think about, because thematically, you could totally see Hexen being just kind of the general style of everything.
Yeah.
It's still really early to comment on, but when I hear things like that, like, hey, let's take Dark Souls gameplay and put it into Doom, the question is, what mechanics are you actually going to try and copy over? Because Dark Souls is a third-person game, controls very differently, and there's a lot of mechanics that would be like very, 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 very difficult to translate, not even just from the perspective shift, but just mechanically, what can you pull off in Z-Doom? Have fun with your shields, mister. But just things will work differently because you move different. Is sword fighting going to be as effective in FPS? So much of Dark Souls is just the grand boss fights with 8 zillion attacks. How do you make that in Z-Doom?
Mm-hmm.
So on and so forth. It's if you want to actually capture the soul of Dark Souls, that was unintentional, believe it or not.
if you want to capture the Dark Souls.
Oh, gosh. All right, give me a moment to collect my composure here. All right, responding, collecting my souls. It seems like it's a really high-stakes thing to pull off. It would be really friggin' awesome. I just hope it doesn't turn into... Well, let me phrase it this way. If a mechanic translates poorly, I would rather see it not translate.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, if it's really hard to get shield blocking in, then don't add shields. Make dodging a part of the mechanic. I know that's not really a core Dark Souls thing, unless you're me and don't use shields like an idiot. You can still figure out how best to combine Hexen and Dark Souls together without trying to take the latter and overwrite the former. It's kind of some nebulous thoughts of mine. I've actually had some thoughts on this regard as well,
mm-hmm.
because I like Dark Souls. How do I make this work in FPS world? Well, the answer, if you're me, is you don't, because you don't have time. But
There's been a little bit of a push lately as to doing sword fighting or first-person melee. And I don't really want to take credit for that, because Lord knows first-person melee has been done for quite some time. But, I mean, look at the Bishop, the badass armor and Guncaster, and it's explicitly saying it was inspired by Demon Steel. And then Jamoda, Keegan, and I are swapping notes constantly. And it's same with the melee and Teaspoon, or the Space Pirate, once that comes out. I'm really hoping it comes out sometime soon. Marty's been doing some really interesting work on it, but Marty and I are constantly swapping notes on that as well. And it's like, wow. There's really been a push for melee and first person recently, and I am really, really happy to see another drop in the pool, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out, because I'm sure this may come as a little bit of a shock to people that follows my mods and its common themes, but I really like hitting people.
Nice change to say, because melee in Doom mods was pretty shit for a very long time, and now it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really good, as you can see from like Demon Steel and Johnny Doom and G-Motor and that. Hopefully now, Tim, can you make a mod that like makes bosses good?
Funny you should mention that. Funny you should mention that, because I've been experimenting with bosses a lot lately. I've been, one of the things about Dump is that every single entry has a unique boss at the end, and some of the bosses are pretty fun, but I really like bosses in first-person shooters, which is weird because when you think about it, there's not really a whole lot of really recognizable or iconic bosses in first-person shooters. Like, you ask someone, hey, what's a boss in a first-person shooter game that you really like? And it's like, Hitler? I liked shooting Hitler.
It is, yeah, you don't really get lots of good... The games with all the good boss fights are in the other genres.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we love cyber demons in Doom, they have kind of turned more into a heavy support enemy for all of us mappers.
Mm-hmm.
Really, sidestepping is a thing. You can dodge those rockets like no problem. Yeah. So E2M8,
the Spider Mastermind recently. I was doing a map on stream just, I think, yesterday, and it turned into just utterly humiliating the Spider Mastermind, because I had this one section where the Spider Mastermind would fight three scripted Marines, and, I mean, it's just three Marines. You got this shotgun Marine, you got this chain gun Marine, you got this another shotgun Marine, and you got the Spider Mastermind. Obviously, it's going to be a wipe, right? So I activate the fight, I kind of move on, wander over to another room, and then just... A minute later, I hear the Spider Mastermind dying sound, and I was like, what the hell? So I experimented with this a little more, and then I just turned them into Chainsaw Marines. They made total mincemeat of the Spider Mastermind. I mean, they were just sawing the thing, and it was stunlocked. It couldn't do anything, and yet it died. And then I changed it to a... Punch Fist Marines, and I just surrounded the Spider Mastermind in that. Fired up the map. It didn't even last three rounds. You had these entire Marines armed with nothing but their knuckles and what Mom gave them, and they were just humiliating the final boss of Doom over and over. Then I swapped it to a Cyber Demon, along with this entire army of Punch Marines. And they were actually making pretty decent headway against that as well. I mean, they were all punching in unison, so every single time the Cyber Demon would get pained and get out of its firing state. Of course, once it finally got a shot off, the entire thing crumpled like a stack of wet dominoes, but it was really, really interesting to see this shift in power. These feared, terrifying boss enemies just... They're not really bosses anymore. They're just kind of...
Now I'm just imagining, like, Pikmin with scripted Marines.
Scriptmen?
There we go.
That's really bad.
Scriptmen. I like Scriptmen. Scriptmen is a good term. That's also...
So what have you been playing, Thomas?
Well, that actually seeks nicely into what I've been playing and what I've been working on. Hi, I've been playing map sets, and I've been working on map sets. Just recently, I made a map. I'm trying this challenge where I'm making a map layout every other day. And it's been going pretty well so far. I am intent on increasing my mapping abilities, and I've been studying all sorts of classic map sets in order to try this out. And, yeah. To just blunt it out so quickly, but...
What? No half-hour segue?
No, I mean, that's pretty much the segue we already did.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I've also been experimenting with boss battles recently, but... Yeah, boss battles and maps. That's what I've been playing recently. That's what I've been working on recently. And then moving on from there, hey, Kinsey, you've been looking into Doom 64 stuff recently, judging by your Tumblr.
So, Brutal Doom 64 came out. It has a bunch of stuff. Well, first it was teased with that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of looked deeper into it because I got the idea into my head that, like, there were these changes from the Doom 64 maps in it, like, there was this intro map with a bunch of scripted Marines and stuff going on. There were revenants in the maps, and I was just like...
There were revenants?
Yeah, I know.
I thought I just saw Chernobog.
Yeah, there's Chernobogs in the map.
And I was like, What would I have to do to sort of de-brutalize Brutal Doom 64? To try and create this vanilla Doom 64 experience that people can play in Z-Doom and use their own gameplay mods to hoon around in. So I started looking around, doing a little research, and by that I mean basically reading forum posts. Brutal Doom 64 is based off another mod called GZ Doom 64, which actually introduces the revenants and stuff into the maps. They just used the old Doom 2 sprites in that, though. And that, in itself, is based off another mod called Z Doom 64, which adds, like, a... super caca demons, spider demons in maps after map 10.
And that is based on Doom 64 Absolution from Kaiser, who dubbed it all total shit and then went on to make Doom 64 EX.
Yeah, so it's basically just slopping around in someone's leftovers and, like, piling more and more moldy spaghetti on top. If you'll excuse the amazing mental image.
Oh, that's yuck. Very interesting. I'm going to take a nice drink now.
What he
burned
said.
All the way down?
I don't even remember my maiden name anymore.
So I guess what I'm trying to say here is I sort of looked into what it would take to sort of create a vanilla Doom 64 experience in Z-Doom, and I started writing that up, and I realized that it would take way too much work and the skills that I don't actually have, like programming to try and convert the N64 Doom 64 EX maps to UDMF, and like I guess it's just a bit of a pipe dream. Maybe I'll do something with GZ Doom 64, just like ripping out all the changes and like manually replacing all the monsters or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a ways off though.
Yeah, the Doom 64 map format, it's actually kind of interesting, because you'd think it wouldn't be too much different from UDMF, but nah, just skyboxes and the colored lighting alone, that changes a lot.
Yeah, and there's also the macro scripting system, which is sort of more basic-like than ACS, and also has this interesting limitation where only one script can run at once. And if a script is executed when one's already running, they sort of get queued up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sort of break things in some interesting ways with that.
Yeah, speedrunners make a whole lot of interesting uses of that.
So, Zazo, what have you been working on? Well, what haven't you been working on?
That joke again?
All right, well, since we spoke last, I made very good progress on the bump I wasn't supposed to be done. And then 32 and 24 happened, so I... I broke away and did that. So I have 1.5 maps... And by half, I mean I have one real map and one terrible joke map that's going into map 32 slot because I'm a horrible person and I felt like making something evil.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It's shoot.wadctf. Have fun. I'm kind of bringing up 32 and 24, A, because it came up, and B, because Du gave me a chewing out for not mentioning it in the last episode when we were talking about kind of upstart projects, like, hey, let's just get together and make maps, because guess who first did that, 32 and 24? I missed it. I didn't think about that, but that was one of the big pioneers behind that idea of let's get people together and let's get good at making multiplayer stuff.
Yeah. 32 and 24, that's one of the, pretty much the granddad of this sort of stuff.
And I forgot to mention it. I'm terrible. I participated and I didn't rep it. I'm horrible. And so,
don't worry. That slips the mind all the time.
So that's interesting because I don't feel like I'm that great of a multiplayer. I feel like I could be, but I don't play it enough to be good at it. So it's interesting because I'm so dependent on others' feedback. Like, Du and Decay basically came in and swooped in and saved the day. It was like, hey, you got to fix your player start. Let's make some changes. And then kind of Spider-Man flew out on their web. And the map's a lot better for it, I think. And I say I think because guess what? Nobody tested it actually in-game.
Wow.
Because it's CTF. You can't just pull a couple of random people in. It has to be at least six before you can get a good 3v3 match. And even it's probably a large map for three.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a very long-winded way of me segueing into multiplayer mapping is really freaking hard coming from a single-player guy because you can't test very easily because bots don't count. CTF like doubles or triples the difficulty because the rules are a lot different. Most of us have less experience playing it, and it's a lot harder to, again, get the testers together. And
just put complex in the map name.
You're gonna have a complex time. that would instantly make it appear at the top of there. I think is the running joke there. So
yeah,
complex complexity. So that's something that I've kind of. I'm weird because I always think of this every time a 32 comes up, and then I don't really do anything about it. Is I want to get better at this, and I don't know how because I don't play enough. I need to play more, and then I don't. So. Technically, maybe working on something to fix that, but I think the ship has sailed a little bit on that front. So,
one of the most important things when it comes to making things for anything, really, whether you're game deving or whether you're modding, is to continually play stuff.
Right.
You can't just go continue to work on stuff and then never do anything ever again. And I know the temptation is really, really real. I mean, you play other stuff, and when you're working on stuff, you start looking at things from a critical standpoint. You can start going, okay, now how would I make this differently? Or how would I make this better? Or how would I change this? And it's really hard to get out of that mindset because you need to go, instead of that, you need to go, oh, wow, this is fun. I'm having a lot of fun with this. Boy, I love video games.
Oh dear.
I know that's a controversial opinion to have nowadays, but yeah, video games are generally pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you go out there into the streets and say that video games are good, they'll have you on a burning stake in like 5 minutes flat.
And then there will be at least five articles written about it.
Fucking NeoGAF.
It's just really hard to get out of that critical mindset and into a fun mindset, but the thing is, you have to continually feed yourself, metaphorically speaking. You have to have fun. You have to find things that you enjoy, and you have to use that in order to get inspiration to make your stuff.
Hmm.
I guess I've been channeling that subconsciously. Like, I don't play as much games as a lot of folks that spend as much time on the computer as I do because I'm doing the modding stuff, but I tend to duck out for fairly large chunks of time, plunk around in something and come back and accidentally like copy and paste an area from Bloodborne into a map I'm working on. Oops. Stuff like that. But, you know, it is hard to turn that off because I was doing that the entire time playing through Shadow 2 is, oh, this is cool. It's meant to be retro FPS-y. I think I'm an expert in that. Let's judge it. and it's really hard to shut that off.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to in a few cases, but sometimes it would just kind of sneak back in. I mean, the level design, right? I'm sitting here thinking, oh, what if it did something different? That's kind of a useless thought.
Yeah.
And all it's doing is, you know, distracting me from playing the actual game itself. So, yeah, I feel like a lot of people playing the new Dark Souls expansion, we're thinking the same thing, like, oh man, I would have done this differently, or oh, what if it was like this other thing, or man, I wish it was longer, as opposed to damn, that was a really fun X number of hours of gameplay I just got.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Actually, if I could just step back a little bit, you mentioned accidentally copy-pasting an area of Bloodborne into a Doom map. I'm just going to come out and say this. A map sort of loosely based on like the Lordran Streets area from the start of the game, where you're just wandering around these like Victorian-era streets. That would make a really cool Heretic or Hexen map. Or
ooh,
for, like,
would.
G-Motor or something. Just going through these dingy, very grey streets, horrible monsters lurking around, melee-focused gameplay. That would be a cool mod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I mean, damn, whoever's working on the Hex and Souls mod, if you're tuning in, then there's an idea for you. Ha-ha. Or G-Mota map set, hello. Yeah, that would be great, because I've always really been... So my favorite map in Heretic is E1-M4, just because... that's Guard Tower. That city area is just amazing. Like, if the entire game was that high quality, then Heretic would just beat Doom to death with its own leg. Brutal. Unfortunately, the map doesn't all quite live up to that, and you know the enemy designs kind of fall. Heretic's still pretty good, but
wasn't it most of it like 90% of the level design in Heretic done by like one dude?
It was like two guys, I think. Maybe a third. I am very rusty on that. I need to go back and brush up on my behind the scenes lore. But what's interesting is that you can kind of go between Heretic maps, and there's one particular author who has a very distinctive style who shows up in a lot of things. Like, it's very obvious that E1-M4 and say E4-M7 Ramparts in episode 4 were made by the same guy. It's like the way that he does little castle turrets and other stuff. It's like, all right, this is clearly the same person. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny to think about, because some of them that you can see some author consistency, but it also did seem that the game kind of had an A mapper and a B mapper, and Mr. B did more of the levels than A did. So, oh well, it happens. Sorry, that was a distraction. Yes, that kind of stuff I would love to see more in Heretic and Hexenverse. Hexen was kind of absent of that kind of stuff in general. So.
Well, while we're on the subject of Heretic mapping and Hexen mapping, one thing that I'd like to point out is something that actually brings about a lot of difficulty in regards to actually making custom maps and mods for Heretic and Hexen. I mean, I really like Heretic and Hexen, probably far more than I should be. The thing about Heretic and Hexen that I've noticed over time is that one of the biggest features of gameplay kind of really trips over itself and makes both modding and mapping far more difficult than it should be. Because you look at the inventory system, and on its first glance, inventory system, incredible. Oh, cool, I can take this quartz flask and I can use it whenever. I don't have to use it right now. I can use it later on. I can use it now. But the thing about that is now it's difficult for players to know when the intended use is. You see a big fight coming down the line and you pop a ring of invulnerability, and no, it turns out it's actually kind of a cakewalk and you just wasted a ring of invulnerability you learned down the line. Or you keep this in mind and you jump into another fight, you don't pop a ring of invulnerability, and no, turns out this fight you were supposed to be invulnerable and you just got your ass kicked. The thing about the inventory system in Heretic and Hexen, it really makes the games more advanced. But at the same time, it kind of puts a damper on the gameplay, because now players don't know when they're supposed to use an item or when they're not supposed to use an item. The item system just kind of weighs the entire thing down. How are you supposed to map around that?
There's also the bit where the items are poorly explained as to what they actually do, unless you have the manual next to you. Oh, what does this like Ankh thing do? Things like that.
Oh yeah, it's called Mystic Urn. It doesn't even say healing at all.
Yeah.
Goofy stuff.
It's really kind of a shame, because, like I said, it's definitely a more advanced feature, and it's a really cool feature. But at the same time, it's just...
It is something that makes it harder to map around, because you gotta... It's easier for players to break the map or get into crappy situations, because you can't... It's hardest to guess what they will or will not do.
Mm-hmm.
So in that particular game, and really I do this all the time in lots of games, there's always some variant of this. You get the too good to use problem where it's like, oh, I have a ring of invulnerability. I'm going to save it for when I need it. And you never use it. You finish the map and you're like, well, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. There's a big proclivity among players like hoarding items for some extremely difficult problem that will that never seems to eventuate.
Mm-hmm.
Like they come up against a final battle like, oh no, I need to save this for later. And I don't know, it's a difficult problem to sort of deal with. And the inventory system presents additional like layers to that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there is one really goofy way of somewhat mitigating that in your map, which I've taken advantage of, and it's if you're willing to crank it up to 11, and that is give a shit ton of power. Like, I'm going to feel less bad about using a tome of power if I have 5 of them. So that, plus it's way more fun using the tome. Like, in fact, I think heretic mappers, if you're mapping for vanilla heretic, pro tip, use tome of power freaking everywhere. It's great. It's more fun that way.
Tome of power is great.
It's funny because Elf gets pissed. The first level just immediately gives you the Phoenix staff and a tome of power. And
yes.
Puts you in front of a horde of mummies just like, have fun!
Yeah.
Burninating the countryside.
The Tome of Power is its own really unique situation because it's one of Heretic's most iconic items, but it really changes the game, quite literally. It makes some weapons incredibly useless, and it makes some weapons incredibly powerful.
Mm.
And it falls into that problem earlier of, what does this do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still not really 100% sure what the powered up blaster is for.
Oh, that one,
I guess, when you run out of flamethrower ammo.
Boy, that was a whole bunch of negativity.
Oops. I still love you, Heretic.
I love Heretic, too. I love it quite a lot. I still fire it up.
Call me Heretic!
Kenzie? No. Bad.
I think people are going to be calling us Heretics after this.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If they weren't already.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sure did have a lot of hot opinions this episode, huh?
Is there such thing as a double heretic? Like, what happens if other heretics condemn you? Well, but is that...
Then we move beyond heretic and we become Hexen.
You don't want to become heretic too. Trust me on this.
I think it's better now that we just kind of shut our mouths now before any more damage is done and see what the collateral damage coming in is. And so with that, we will close this episode, and thank you all very much for listening. Thank you to Zazer for coming along. And as always, please feel free to give us your criticisms, give us feedback, tell us what we did wrong, tell us what we can do better next time. And, well, keep on dooming, everybody.
It's been real.
Yep.
I'm going to end up not saying that one week, and it's going to be really weird.